Come on and give him some more praise. Give him some more praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, I may be wounded. Look at your another neighbor and go, I may be wounded, but I'm not out. Amen. We have wounds in our lives that have us bleeding from the inside that we keep to ourselves because we're afraid what folks might think about what we have to say, or may think about how we feel, or may think about our emotionalism. But I'm here to tell you, even though we may be wounded, we're not out. We can be wounded and still have victory. Amen. In 2 Corinthians, the first, fourth chapter, I probably won't get a chance to finish all this, but I'm not going to do it tonight, Red. In the very seventh verse of the fourth chapter, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I know a lot of you are going to be able to, you understand this. We are troubled. Did y'all hear me? We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up shall present us with you. Please turn your phones off, because I don't want to have to put it in my message. Reason I can teach this message about being wounded but not being out, because I know what it is to be wounded. I know what it is to be wounded in different areas and phases of my life, but come to the conclusion in my spirit that I'm not out. You have to determine in yourself that they cannot count you out. You have to determine in your spirit that you will not count yourself out. When Paul was coming up with this message, there were a lot of things that were going on in the church of Corinth. A whole lot of blasphemy, and folks were complaining about I don't want to have to love this one, and should I have to go through this, and why am I going through this? I serve the same Jesus you serve. All these different things. There were a lot of Judaism worshipers going on when folks were converting to Judaism because they couldn't understand what God was actually doing because they couldn't touch him, or they couldn't feel him, and they couldn't see him. My God, I come to the conclusion a lot of things I see I don't want to touch, and then things I don't touch I don't want to be bothered with. Don't make me say it again, man. It might come out different. But as he's ministering this, he says, but we have this treasure. What treasure? Well, the word treasure is a deposit or wealth. What is the wealth that we have? Well, you have to go back up a couple verses in order to see what wealth you have. In the fifth verse says, for we preach not ourselves but Christ Jesus Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. We cannot get away from the illuminating power of God, or the shining of God in our hearts. This is the treasure that we have. What treasure do we have? That shining. What treasure do we have? The illumination. I tell you all the time, this life ain't never going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. It's going to always cost you something to live for God. It's going to cost you something to stand on the word of God. It's going to cost you something to pray without ceasing. It's going to cost you something to fast to bring your flesh under subjection. Yeah. It's going to always cost you. But the payout is worthwhile. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Well, I've found different meanings for the word earthen, pastors, but sometimes you get to research and you see something that just jumps out, and you know, somebody make you some food and it's so good, you say, you're going to slap your mama. You know that's just a saying, right? If she alive, you can slap her if you want to. But the reason they use the word frail, earth, because the word earthen means frail. Because we are frail. We are human beings. We are frail. We are moved by what we see. We are moved by what we hear. We are moved by the way we feel. We allow our emotions and our feelings to dictate to us whether we go left or whether we go right. We allow our feelings and our emotions to dictate to us whether I want to like you or love you or lump you.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
That's why we're frail. Well, y'all, some of y'all say, I ain't frail. I is. The circumstances of life have proven to me just how frail I am. Amen. But we have this treasure, an earthen vessel, and you are a vessel. You are a container. This is the treasure. You are a container for God. I mean, folks running around, there's so much stuff going on in the church world, folks is trying to find something else to do. It's hilarious, the things that we as pastors are putting upon our members. Got people standing at the back door checking to make sure they don't have no weave in their hair because they can't come into church. How foolish is that? Because if you got weave in your hair, it hadn't cost you $300, and you ain't giving the church nothing. So he ain't going to let you in. I'd take my weave off and throw it at him. You don't like it here? Take it. Go get the money for it. But this is the dilemma that we're in. You have got to know the word of God for yourself.
Amen.
Don't depend on me. Don't depend on the other pastors. Don't depend on no prophet or no evangelist. Or no, you better find out who you are in God for yourself. Stop taking somebody's word for face value and search the scriptures and find out if it be true. You know, the scripture says, search them, for in them ye think ye have everlasting life. Yeah. You better make sure what you're reading is right.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I was talking to a, well, he's about 10, 15 years older than me, and he pulled me to the side the other day, and he said, can I talk to you about something? And immediately the Lord says, tithing. And that's what it was about. The problem with the fact is, he just retired, and they're trying to take his house, so he's been doing everything he can to keep his house. Well, he wasn't paying his tithe, but what he was doing was, he was showing up at the church, washing walls and cleaning floors and whatever he could do to assist until his money, till he has money again. Well, they're about to throw him out of the church. We done forgot what ministry is all about.
Amen.
That's why Paul said, you guys done forgot what ministry is. That's, right. That's why you have to realize that you're frail and you have this in earthen vessels.
Yes.
Amen. That the excellency of the power, the abundance, or that which is beyond measure of the power or the force may be of God. See, I like how God put these little words in there, it's almost, if you weren't studying to show yourself approved, it would throw you off. See, you read that and you just think it's just flat out that's the way it is. Right. But the word may changes the whole concept of the scripture. Because the word say may. If you do it, then he'll do it. If you don't do it, then don't expect it. It's not hard. It's kind of simple. You may. It may be of God and not of us. See, that's the problem. We got so caught up, we always wanted to be about us.
Amen.
Out of us. That's what we want. We want to be all about us. I was telling my wife, preachers always want to tell me what they preach Sunday morning. Well, I preach this Sunday morning. This is where my message came from. This is my text. Well, then I just listen. I said, well, why don't you say something? Because they don't want you to say nothing.
Right.
They just want you to hear them. Now, if your friend is in here, close your eyes when you raise your hand. How many of y'all got friends that always got something to say but don't want to hear you say? That's because it's all about us. It's not about God. It's not about the excellency or the abundance of God. What did he say? I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Well, immediately we think, all right, Lord, give me all the money. Give me the nice cars and the houses and the. When he's saying the abundant thing that he wants you to have is him. You may not believe this. There are folks that hate you, but in their souls and in their spirits, they're actually looking to see if you're going to portray or manifest the God that you so quickly talk about. I'm almost done. Not really, but I'm working on it. But because we get so caught up in this, because God has invested so much in us, which he has, he is invested in your life. He is invested in your person. He is invested in your mindset. He is invested in your walk. He is invested in your talk. God has invested in you, and he expects the excellency or that which God has given you to come forth. And sure, it ain't going to be easy, because somebody on your left side going to try to trip you. Somebody on your right side going to try to stab you. Somebody behind you going to sock you in the back of the head. And somebody that's loving on you and kissing you on the cheek done dogged you already and tried to destroy your character. But you know what the fabulous thing about it is, God loves you and he cares about you, but when it comes to doing the word of God, he don't care what you think.
Right.
That's why he said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers of.
Amen.
It said, do the word of God at all costs and don't just be selfish about your hearing.
Amen.
Well, glory, somebody gonna like it. I like these next verses because they are a picture or a video of my life this last year. They are a video. You wanna know what I've been through, huh? This is it. I tell you. Pastors laugh at me all the time. I couldn't wait to get in here on Sunday and tell them what I've been through during the week. And they just laugh. Then Pastor Relevant got to the place, he said, where they had you this week? what they make you do this week? He didn't give me a chance to tell him. He immediately started laughing. But that's a good thing, because if he can laugh at it, how come I can't laugh? I don't know about you, but this word says we are troubled. The word troubled is translated in the Greek afflicted. How many folks in here are afflicted? You may not raise your hand because you don't know yet what you're afflicted by. Let me see if I can fill you in on just a few things. if you're sitting there and your toe hurting, you're afflicted. If you're sitting there squirming in your seat because your back hurting, you're afflicted. If you're sitting in here wondering how you're going to make it home because you don't have enough gas in your car, you're afflicted. Need I say any more about affliction? I'm about to be like the pastor. I'm finna mess with y'all. Now I'm meddling. If you sitting there doing this, you afflicted. Anything that interferes with your peace of mind and your directive and your purpose is affliction. Man, y'all better stop laughing. I'm trying not to get in trouble here. It says, we are troubled on every side. The whole thing. You're troubled physically. You're troubled spiritually. You're troubled financially. You're troubled mentally. You are troubled on every hand. I talk to rep preachers and laymen and say, I don't have no problem. And then you see him run off in the corner on the phone. I said, he got problems. If he didn't have no problems, he wouldn't have to run and hide to talk on the phone. He done messed up something. I got lots of them, but I'm learning to deal with them. We are troubled on every side. But you know what the good thing about it is? We're not distressed. We're not hemmed in by it. We're not being suffocated by it. Why? Because we have this treasure in our earthen vessel. My God. Pastors, I'm telling you something. Ah, my God, I may be wounded, but I'm not out, Greg. Can't count me out. Folks to count you out in a heartbeat.
Yes. Amen.
As long as you don't count yourself out. Yeah, well, glory anyway. Oh, I really like this one, dear. Perplexed. How many want to know what the word perplexed really means in the Greek, in the original writings? Well, not many of y'all, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It means you've gotten into a circumstance and a situation due to your affliction and your troubles and your trials that you really don't know which way to turn. I've been there so many times this year, I should get a tattoo on my back with an arrow on it. Which way you going, brother? Because don't know which way to go. We're perplexed. There are times in our lives when we don't know which way to go or how to handle the situation or what to do. But the good thing about it is we are not in despair. We are not at utter loss. Why are you not at utter loss? Because you have in you, in your earthen vessel, this treasure which has power and authority, dominion, has wisdom and knowledge, which has peace and joy and long suffering. You have this treasure in you. But you got to learn how to use it. You know what? Bernard used to always tell this story, and he used to always get it backwards. And I started saying it backwards because that's the way I heard it all the time. So I tried it myself, Rev. I got stung, but I tried it. We got fences out here. And sometimes if you don't lock, close the inner gate, the hornets and the bees go up in them and live and make nests. So I said, I'm going to catch me some of these bees. I'm curious. So I put a glass up to the thing, and some of the hornets flew in the glass. But wisdom exalts a nation, and I didn't use any. Because the other ones that didn't want to go in the glass, they came out the other end of the fence. And they knew exactly where they wanted to go. And when them bad boys stopped clipping me on my neck, I was screaming. The young Sean across the street, she was hollering. She thought somebody was killing me. They were. But I got that job, and I had them hornets. And I turned that jar upside down. And I left it like that. I left it like that for about 3 or 4 days. So when I finally decided to turn it over, Mother Relaford, you know I ran. I flipped the jar over and I ran. And I sat there. And them wonderful, beautiful hornets that can smell food 100 miles away, that'll sting you, get mad at you just for being in their area, never left that glass. They never came out of that jar. That's a lot of Christians. We've been in one situation for so long, when the thing is, the door is finally open, we decide we're safer where we are. You better come on out that jar. I'm really almost done now. I'm serious. Persecuted. How many people here know about persecution? Y'all just ain't gonna get involved in this, are y'all? I don't have to break down persecution, do I? I ain't gonna do it. You know what it is to be persecuted. Most of the time we think we're just persecuted by people. Not me. I'm persecuted by my own mind. My mind can persecute me to the place where I want to just leave here. You know what they call a lot of people crazy because they take their own lives. You know what it is? It's the persecution that's going on in their mind that has convinced them that they have nothing to live for. But you know what the good thing about it is? If you have God in you, even though you're going through that, you're not forsaken. You're not forsaken. Thank God. I appreciate that. That God won't abandon me. That He won't leave me to my own devices. Amen. So when I get to persecute myself, I don't worry about other folks persecuting me, because I'm just going to walk away from you. I'm going to get in my car, or I'm going to do what I have to do and leave you standing there. You can't be persecuted by somebody that you ain't around. And talk is cheap. If it's somebody ain't talking about you, then you ain't born again. I don't know if you remember this story. I started talking about Pastor Hart, but all this junk that he had said, it just popped right up in my memory like popcorn. It was this guy who used to go to the church. I remember the guy. I'm not going to say his name. Pastor Hart used to ask him, how are you getting along at work, brother? I'm doing great, Pastor Hart. Anybody bother? Don't nobody. See, turn on the light. Don't nobody bother me at work. Everybody love me. So Pastor Hart said, he didn't say nothing. He just kept going, how can everybody love him? He didn't say nothing. I come to church the next time. Pastor Hart said, you know, his favorite thing is, got the victory. That's after he done got through persecuting you. He wouldn't know if you got the victory. Because he figured if he done it to you, you got the victory, you can put up with anybody. So he asked the man, you got the victory? The man said, yeah, I got the victory. Everything is fine and wonderful. Family love me. My friends love me. I get along great on the job. So Pastor Hart said, God spoke something to his heart and said, I ain't going to do that. The man going to leave church. But then he said he had to do it anyway. So he said, well, can I ask you a question? And the man said, well, sure you can. He said, well, how many people in your home, your friends, and on your job know that you are born again Christian? I never thought to tell him. He said, well, no wonder you ain't got no trouble. They think you like them. One of the most vicious animals in the world, which is a rattlesnake or a cobra, will not fight another cobra. Because they resemble. And they both know they both poisonous. So folks, you around poisonous. Get going, Dennis. We got to go. Hallelujah. Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed. Baby, I've been thrown down a lot. I done threw myself down. Folks done threw me down. Circumstances done threw me down. Finances done threw me down. But you know what was so wonderful about it all? It didn't destroy me. It can't destroy you. Why again? Because you have this treasure in you. You know what I found out about Jesus? He was a survivor. What do you mean he was a survivor? He was the Son of God. No, he was a man too, but he was a survivor. Come on now. Because he told them, it don't matter how you treat me. It don't matter what you do to me. It don't matter how you feel about me. It don't matter what you say about me. In 3 days, I'm getting up. You have got to come to the conclusion in your spirit and in your heart, I don't care what you say about me. I don't care how you treat me. I don't care what you think about me. My God, I don't care what I think about myself. In 3 days, I'm getting up. You better get on up. You know the old saying, pastors? They kick you when you're down. Well, don't stay down. They can't kick when they down. Well, I don't know. Some folks kick you while you're standing up. We have to work on that one. Cast down but not destroyed. Oh, the key word, always. Somebody say, always. That means at all times, bearing or bringing forth or showing forth in the body the dying of Jesus. It's showing forth the dying or the persecution or the life of Jesus. That's why Paul came up with that statement. That's why God gave it to him. He said, every morning I wake up, it don't matter what I went through the next day, whether I was blessed the day before, whether I was starving the day before, whether I was beaten the day before, when I wake up this morning, I'm going to die daily. Yes. Yes. Where do you die at? Up here. How do you die up here? By casting down every imagination that tries to exalt itself against or above the word of God. The word imagination means reason. Most of the problems I've gotten myself in is because I sat back for Tima and reasoned about it. Y'all awful quiet. Why don't somebody fall out of chair or something? Well, not really, because then Sister Sherry going to have a heart attack. Always, all the time, in any circumstance, any situation, any hell, all trouble, all pain, all anguish, all anxiety, all persecution, all affliction, all sickness, always manifesting or showing forth the character of your God. You can't show forth his character if you don't know about his character. They used to always say, well, you just like your daddy to a certain extent. I tell Rodney that all the time. Know what he do? He laughs. And he says, I ain't like him. That ain't what it really say, but that's what we're going to leave it at. Well, we're about to laugh our way out of here. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That's not just talking about you, but that's talking about the whole body. When you manifest the characteristics and the nature of God, it causes the rest of the body to be influenced and to be encouraged and to be uplifted. We done forgot. It ain't about us. Well, I can't forget. Somebody keep reminding me. Oh, sorry. It's not about us. We've been bought with a price. For which we live are always delivered unto death. You're going to always be delivered unto death if you live for Jesus. But the key to the whole thing is, it don't separate you from your praise, from your worship, from your duties in God, from your gospel that God's given you the call to do. Baby, please, there's some folks you probably got in your family. If you didn't catch yourself, you pray, Lord, don't let them wake up in the morning. I saw one person go, me. You really don't want them to die. You just want them to leave you alone. Amen. So, we're always, for we which live or are quickened by the power of God in our lives, always delivered unto death. Always. Always, always, like sheep for the slaughter, you are going to be delivered. But don't take it personal. We take everything personal. If you take it personal, then your emotions and your feelings will rule you. You can't get away from it because that's who you are. You are a feeling person. You are an emotional person. But you don't have to let it dictate to you the life you live for God. Amen. Glory to God. That the life also Jesus might be made manifest in our, I like this, for we live, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus, the life of Jesus, or the anointing of Jesus, or the character of Jesus, which is the character of our Father, which is what? We know what the fruit of the Spirit is. Remember, it don't say fruits, it say fruit, because it's one nature and it's one character that God wants us to allow to manifest within us. And it talks about in our mortal flesh. The reason it talks about your mortal flesh, that means you have to bring yourself under subjection and do exactly what you don't want to do.
Amen.
Your flesh tells you if they do you bad, do them bad. God tells you if they do that you bad, pay for them. Your flesh, your mortal flesh will tell you they hate you, you hate them back. The word of God says if they hate you, love them.
Yes.
Your mortal flesh says if they persecute you, I'm going to get you back, sucker. You mess with me, I'm going to mess with you. But the word of God that we're talking about manifesting here, or the characteristics of God, says you don't do that. You pray for people that despitefully use you. Oh, it ain't going to be easy. Because I had got like my pastor, he said, Lord, kill him. But I tell him, kill him in a minute. And won't take it back either. Wouldn't take it back. Lord, just kill him. And I'd be sitting there listening to him. I say, that ain't right, Brother Hart. He say, don't listen to him. Dying. When it talks about dying, it's talking about the condition of a corpse. It sounds irregular and crazy, but God wants you to be a corpse. Don't be looking at me crazy. He wants you to look, be like a corpse. You know why you want to be like a corpse? Because if you dead, they walk in and shock you. You don't feel it. They could be standing right over you, dogging you. He wasn't no good anyway. He was just a dog. Guess what don't do? It don't affect you. because you don't hear it. I had luck. We had a younger brother who did gone today. God bless his soul. But you pay. The seeds you sow, you reap. Derek had this psychopathic tendency. We used to stay by Morris Funeral Home on Glendale and Hamilton. He had this psychopathic tendency to go in funeral homes and sock these dead people because they couldn't talk back. I'm not lying to you. That's what I did. And would come back and brag about it. I hit him in the eye. They didn't do nothing. One day my mother heard him. Word, this is what my mother said. Fool! Them same folks you socking now gonna be socking you later. So you better hope the ones you sock go to heaven and don't go where you going. That's why it talks about, that's why Paul said, I die daily. So if you afflict me, it don't bother me. If you persecute me, it don't bother me. If you hate me, it don't bother me. If you talk about me, it don't bother me. If I don't have a finance I need, it don't bother me. If I'm sick in my body, it don't bother me. Why? Because I'm dead. I'm dead to myself and I'm alive in Christ. So then Paul closed out by saying, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. How is that possible? If you die to yourself and you only allow the characters and the principles of God to live in your life, then somebody that comes around you is going to receive life.
Amen.
Because you ain't going to be giving them you. Keep on messing with me. I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You better keep it. You're only working on a half a tank anyway. I never said that because I need all I got. I may not need yours. My wife was laughing at me. I had on, what kind of suit was that I had on? What? Which time? When I had on the blue socks. Black. I love you too. So then death worketh active in us. It's active. Death is active in us because we refuse to allow it to separate us from the very things that God has preordained in our lives, predestinated in our lives. Listen, folks. Everybody want to do whatever they want to do. You have got to allow the nature and the character of God to manifest itself in your life. People are out there looking for some truth, and you are that truth.
Amen.
Now that's if you want to be.
Amen.
We have in the same spirit of faith. What is your conviction today? What's your profession? Whatever your conviction, your profession is, that's what faith means here. It doesn't mean epistis or that divinely implanted principle this time, but it means conviction or your profession, according to as it's written. I believe and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord shall Jesus raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you.
Amen.
What is God saying? You better wake up and smell the coffee. You better stop playing and fooling yourself. You ain't fooling nobody but yourself. Because whether you know it or not, other people don't care anyway. They've already made up their minds about you. They've made up their minds, so you might as well get on with yours. There is an anointing that's in the earth today. And you have got to move into it. It's not coming to you. You got to move into it. They used to tell me, baby, I used to fast. Daughter Rashad, I fast. Because they had convinced me that fasting produced the anointing. Baby, I used to fast. It got to the place they got easy. I'm thinking, I'm just anointing. Ha! I'm a shot top. Glory to God. I'm finna open up some blinded eyes and raise the dead and open up some deaf ears. And then I ran into somebody possessed with a demon. Guess what I found out? I didn't have no anointing. Only anointing I had, El Norma, was flesh. And you know what he found out? Oh, he flesh. I'm going to teach him today. I was so scared of that man. He was growling and barking and sounding like a wolf and everything else. And I woke up one morning and I was crying because I belittled myself. Because I go, you supposed to be able to handle that. And God said, you can't handle it if you don't have no anointing. I said, Lord, I'm fasting and praying. He said, son, stop running from your troubles and your trials, because that's where the anointing comes from. The anointing comes from when you stand in the midst of your troubles and you can still give God the praise and you can glorify God. It produced an anointing. You know why Jesus was so powerful? Not because he was just the Son of God, because of all the hell he had to go through and still give his life for people that did not love him. You know why Paul was so powerful? Because he had to go through all the hell he went through and still be able to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ in truth, and most importantly, with the love of God.
Although your troubles and your trial that you go through are constant, yea, at the same time, I'm with you whithersoever you go. So my deliverance from your circumstances, your situations, are constant. For I'm an everlasting God. And yea, where you go, I am. And where you shall be, I've already been there. And yea, I made the way so that you can come, and so that you can go. For I am the constant one that's in thee. I'm in your troubles. I'm in your trials, your circumstances, your situation. That's why you're troubled on every side, because I'm in the midst of it. And yea, nothing shall by any means harm you. For I am that compassionate one, and my love shall never change. My compassion toward you shall never change. My strength shall never change. My deliverance shall never change. I am your God, and there is none else. And yea, I shall do what I have said that I will do. And I said that I will deliver you. I will deliver you. I said that I will heal you. I will heal you. I said that I will bring you out. Yea, I am bringing you out, said God. So lift me up and praise me, for I'm in your midst, glory to God. And when you praise me, you shall come forth. When you lift me up, you shall come forth. When you glorify my name, you shall come out, and you shall be safe in this earth, said God.
Thank you. live this life, it's a life-changing experience. You either grow from it or you die from it. I want to die in the process of growing and maturing in the things of God. We are constantly under a battle in the depths of our minds to keep it moving and to keep doing the work of God. I've been battling up here myself all morning, trying to ask God to let me keep the focus that I need to bring forth the gospel the way He wanted me to bring forth the gospel. You sitting out there, I got so much pain in my back, and at the same time I'm preaching, I'm asking God, okay, Lord, how much longer am I going to have to deal with this while I'm teaching the gospel? And God said, not one word. He didn't say, just a little while, son, I'm going to deliver you. Not a word. But you know what He kept doing? He kept feeding me His word in my spirit. We don't know why we go through the things we do. We don't know why we have to deal with the circumstances we deal with. All I know is this, that the word of God said, children, my little children, understand this, that it rains on the just and the unjust. I don't care how righteous you are, you're going to have problems. I don't care how unrighteous you may think you are, you're going to have problems. But the victory in it all is understanding that even though that you got pain and you're hurt, my God, you cannot be destroyed. You can't be cast down. You will not be in despair, but you're going to glorify your God because you know that He'll never leave thee or forsake thee. It's unto Him that endureth all the way to the end. The same shall be saved. So if you got hell in your life, endure it. If you got trouble, endure it. If you got pain, endure it. If you got financial problems, endure it. Because I'm telling you, when you ever reach the rope, you will find out that it's your last moment when you're not expecting it. God gonna come through for you. Everyone stand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been preaching with this mess in my back for 3 weeks. Remind myself to Debbie. They had beat the crap out of Jesus, ripped all the skin. I know the pictures you see of Jesus on the wall, looking all dainty and handsome, hanging on the cross. That ain't what He looked like. When they hung Him on the cross, finally, it's the grace of God that He was even still alive, because they had ripped His skin. His skin was ripped and torn, and it was just, just ripped up. His face was ripped up. He was just one big mass of torn up flesh. But yet He had the ability to hang on the cross and say, Father, forgive them. But they know not what they're doing. And it's folks around you that don't understand you. That's why I always tell you, God tell me, don't take it personal, because they don't know what they're doing. Amen. I'm a realist. Most folks will say, devil got in my back. Ain't no devil in my back. I'm just too fat. I get rid of some of this weight, I bet my back gonna stop hurting. But it ain't gonna happen for a minute, because I'm eating. But you remember. You remember. I sure know how to make preachers mad. I'm trying not to get to the place I enjoy, Mother Liz. They got this bad habit of seeing folks that been drinking and folks that's high and they so quick to say, they going to hell. I said, why would you say that? Look at them. I said, I'm looking at you. They got more love in them than you got in you. And you don't drink. Where your love at? It's about the love of God. The love of God produces an effect in your life. I learned that from Pastor Key about how it produces an effect. The effect is the ability to let folks know that there's something real about God in this earth. Don't you think somebody been assigned to you? Some of you might have more than just one. They've been assigned to you to separate you from your faith, from your conviction, and from what you're trying to do for God. Don't let it happen. Keep fighting. Keep believing God. Don't give up. Amen. I'm still bowling too. Bad back at all. Yeah, I am. And I'm beating people that ain't got nothing wrong with them. You know why? Because it's up here. Don't you know the mind tells everything? You know my mind is sending my back messages right now. I'm finna make you for drop. I ain't finna drop today. And if I do drop, I got some brothers in this church can drag me to the back. Though he slay me, yet will I praise him. But see, let me drop this little revelation on you, then I'm done. It wasn't God that was slaying Job. It was Job that was slaying Job because of all the thoughts that was going on in his mind. That's what was slaying Job. But you know what he said? It don't matter. Yet will I praise him. You better praise him anyway. You better glorify him anyway. Amen. You better glorify him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baby, please. I'm like this. I believe that whatever God gives you, God gives you. And God blesses you with it. Amen. You know, I like to call them my friends. I call them friends because I can still see some God in them. But they caught up on what they got. They be out there listening to little sounds. I go out there and get my little, what is that, aluminum? Start my car up. Hit my button on my radio. I said, bye, fellas. Amen. You better say bye to some stuff and get your act together. Because it ain't between me and you. It ain't between you and her. It's between you and God. God is who you got to please. And if you're trying to please man, you're going to miss God anyway. That's what Paul was saying. You got to bear about in you the manifestation of the love of God. So you have to ask yourself, am I willing to do this? If. Now, I'm going to use the word if because it has a whole lot of boundaries. If you've been wounded, if you are wounded, and you're looking to get through it without having to kill somebody, or act the way they act, or treat them the way they treat you, come stand across this front. We're going to pray. I was. I don't know whether I'm preaching or teaching no more. That don't matter. While I was ministering in the Wednesday morning service, God dropped this little tidbit in my spirit. I thought it sounded a little crazy at first, but then it started to make sense. They say keep your friends close and your enemies closer. Wrong. You better keep your enemies close and your friends closer, because your friends have the ability to get into your heart and wreak havoc. An enemy ain't gonna get into your heart, because you're gonna smack him, you're gonna give him the get back. But a friend that moved into your heart and be pulling your heartstrings. So you better keep them close so you can keep an eye on them. But see, what I like about being in the house of God is that I don't have no friends. I have loved ones. You know the difference? Loved ones are always different than friends. Amen? So we're going to pray this morning. We have wounds that are so deep in our hearts and in our spirits. And most of the time we've been hurt by the folks that claim to be the closest to us. Don't nothing hurt more than when somebody you love pierces your heart and hurts you, because you don't understand, you can't figure out why, especially when you've done all that you can do to make their life better. But you know what? They just like that scorpion, baby. You can take him in when he calls, and he'll love you and he'll care for you. But the moment he warm up, he gonna let you have it. He gonna let you have it. I heard that one of the most distressing stories on the news. People have a tendency to try to take wild things and raise them up domestically. They took a raccoon into their house and they raised that raccoon up from a baby. And then they had a baby. And the first chance that raccoon got, it went back to its natural character. Ripped that baby apart. But she's still alive. She's a young girl now. But the surgeries that she have had to fix her nose and her ears and her eyes, just constant surgeries, the raccoon just ripped her up. Listen to me, folks. Stop taking wild things into your life. Thinking that you're going to domesticate them. Domesticate something wild unless it wants to be domesticated. I got a feeling some of y'all got a lot of wild things in y'all life, and you hoping they change. If they ain't changed in 15, 20 years, you can about forget it. But what we're going to do today, we're going to pray for the hurt and the wounds that's in your heart and in your spirit. And when you leave here today, there's a peace that's going to be in your spirit and in your heart. And all that hurt and that pain and that anxiety and that stress that has come from this. Now, don't get me wrong. God ain't going to take it from you. I know you're waiting on me to say God going to take it. He ain't going to take it. But what he will do is give you the ability and the power that when it does arise, you can take it and push it down. And you own it, and it don't own you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we anoint your people this morning for the hurt that's in their hearts, in their minds, and in their spirits. Father, we pray that you would move like never before, that when they leave this place, there will be a comforting spirit upon their spirit, upon their hearts. Lord God, whatever that is that's been coming against them, we come against it in the name of Jesus. Father, you are a God of compassion and a God of mercy. So let this vessel be used this morning as I touch and agree that you minister to your folks, to your people, and create in them the peace that they need in their soul. Father, even as you do this, there's a healing that's taking place.